And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, this week we have a lot of stuff happening in Pennsylvania politics. And I guess we should go over that.
Yes.
So, John Fetterman has... that's a good name. Josh Fetterman. That's the Democratic ticket.
Yes, it is. Well, it is the what looks like the Democratic ticket for 2022. Josh Shapiro for governor and John Fetterman for Senate. For a long time, I've been saying that I thought that's where Fetterman was pointing and that's where he should be running. And this week, it's coming true. He set up a campaign committee, an official one, to run for U.S. Senate. I still think he's the most popular Democrat in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. He resonates with the white working class base of the Republican Party. He can get votes in Western Pennsylvania that Democrats have a hard time getting. And he's actually socially liberal. One of his big campaign positions is on the legalization of marijuana. So that brings in the younger vote on that, the progressive vote. And he raised his profile significantly during the last election, being interviewed on television as one of Biden's surrogates, in effect, and attacking the Republicans. He went after them. So, he's there.
He also has a kind of everyman appearance. I mean, he's, 6'7"?
Yep.
He's tattooed, he's bald, he swaggers, and he talks not like a Harvard graduate.
Well, that sounds like you, except for the 6'7" and the tattoos.
Exactly, right. But he is a Harvard graduate. I'm not.
Is it? That's true. That's true. You don't talk like it. And both of you have married immigrants.
Both of us have married immigrants. That's right. Precisely correct. So there you have it.
But
I'm not running for governor.
You're not running for governor. Wow.
No.
Who knows?
No. I know.
You know. Okay. Very good. So we had that come out in Pennsylvania this week. I think a lot of the fortunes, though, of the Democrats, particularly Josh Shapiro, is going to be over the next 2 years how the Wolf administration performs. The Wolf administration has ginned up a lot of animosity, not only among the Republican base, which was always hostile to him, but among certain elements of the public over the shutdown and the lockdown of small business people and people who have just gotten tired of being shut in and not being able to get their shots that are now available. And we have not seen Pennsylvania acquit itself very, very well in that regard. It's still kind of haphazard. Even the elderly are having a hard time, who are prioritized to get shots, are having a hard time. The administration just doesn't seem to have done that very, very well. Their shutdown orders have been, in some ways, difficult to make sense of. Bars can open, but only until 10 p.m. Certain businesses, yes, certain businesses, no. Oh, you can open, but we're going to close you down just before major holidays and events. Those kind of things don't help the cause.
It don't help the cause, but I tell you, there's two things involved here, I think. First of all, the state is at the mercy of the federal government's vaccine distribution plan.
Which wasn't a plan.
Well, that's the point. The Trump administration plan is still the plan that's in effect. And the Trump administration plan is totally incompetent and does not allow the states to know what the hell they can expect from week to week. And so from week to week, they operate on a, last minute basis without the ability to do any kind of advanced planning. So that's one aspect, and I can see it. I know it very well in terms of our county, where I have some knowledge about how the thing goes. And what I know is that this week they really don't know what they're going to do next week, and you can't make appointments on that basis, but they're forced to do so. That's one aspect. The second aspect is that Governor Wolf is not a very good political leader, because what he should be doing is getting on the airways or whatever he can get on to publicize this fact and to explain to people what the real situation is and how the planning is done and how the administration is forced to act because of the problems that they're pushed into by the fault of the Trump plan, the failings of the Trump plan. He doesn't do that. So everybody is at a loss to know what the hell is going on and who's responsible. And who will you blame? You blame the governor.
Yeah. You know, he is not a great communicator. He comes across very soft-spoken and things like that. He really farmed out most of the communications to his Secretary of Health, Rachel Levine, who is now gone because she's joining the Biden administration. And, you know, how she handled being a spokesperson wasn't perhaps in the best manner either. So, we have that, and we've had this built-up animosity, and it's the Republican cohesiveness on things, and they've been doing this and doubling down on all these other, you know, on state after state. You know, we had the riot in Michigan this week. I don't know if you saw in Iowa, the governor, Iowa's got one of the worst rates of spread and getting vaccines and everything. And the governor of Iowa opened everything up just in time for the Super Bowl. No mask mandate, no restrictions on public gatherings, suggestions of social distancing, and that's it. This is in state after state. We're also seeing backlash in California, where they're about to place a recall on Governor Newsom, who is the darling of Democratic liberals. They're only 100,000 votes, 100,000 signatures shy of getting that on the ballot. They have a month to do it. He's going to be on a recall type of thing.
Just to place the 100,000 in perspective, they've already gotten 1,400,000 signatures. They're
right,
bound to get
right.
The 100,000.
Right. And this is the only way, by the way, that Republicans could win a statewide race there. This is how they got Arnold Schwarzenegger as governor for a while, because they recalled a guy named Gray Davis, who was really gray. You know, he had no great personality. He was a policy wonk. He was a government insider who knew how to run things or to do things, but engendered the wrath of the people for not really inspiring things. And they had Schwarzenegger on the ticket. The way that the recall is restructured, you vote for someone to replace the governor if he is recalled, and Schwarzenegger had the big name. I don't know who the Republicans might have or bring up on the ticket, but it's a way for them to checkmate the Democratic legislature, which is overwhelmingly, it's got veto-proof majorities in both House and Senate. So we're seeing that happen, and the trend is, we saw 74 million people vote for Donald Trump. So the Republicans are able to generate people with anger and real hatred of the system because they don't see the system working for them. And you have to see how in each state and how nationally things are going to work out. I think Joe Biden's done a pretty good job right now out of the box. I think his communication skills have been far in exceeded my expectations there. He's not being quiet about things. He's come out and said, look, what the Republicans want to do is either nothing or not enough, and we're going to be doing things. And his policies are very popular. He's plowing ahead in the face of Republican opposition in both houses of Congress. He's said, I want to be bipartisan, but he's redefined bipartisan. It's not just getting Republican votes. What he said is what we have is popular polling by both parties. Democrats, independents, and Republicans want these things that I'm proposing and I'm doing and I'm going to do. He's got things that are over 60%, sometimes over 80%, and he's putting them into effect, and he's putting them into his budget plans, he's putting them into his bills, the COVID relief bills, and so we'll see how that works. But right now he's got the Republicans on the run, just kind of defending the kooks in their party.
So if I hear you saying, what I hear you saying is that with Biden as an exception, the Republicans want to do politics, but they don't want to govern. But the Democrats want to govern, but they don't want to do politics. But in reality, once the policy is set, politics is everything. Because otherwise you can't win support for the policy.
Yeah. Now, it's not just the Republicans don't want to govern. They haven't wanted to govern for a long time. Remember Ronald Reagan said government's the problem. And you've heard me say repeatedly on this show, why do you want to elect people into government who don't believe in governance? And what the Republicans want to do is bollocks up government. And it reached its peak under Donald Trump with Bannonism, you know, to deconstruct the administrative state. All those things that protect people, that make their lives better but are mandated by the government, they don't want. They were pretty successful at
well, because stopping. All of those things were fundamentally restrictions on what corporations could do in the sake of earning a profit, maximizing a profit. Right. You're not supposed to kill people to maximize your profit. That's what the regulations that were in effect basically said. But the Republicans say, screw that. Maximum profits is what is good for everybody, even those who get killed because of it.
Yeah. I mean, we see that with the COVID response. Open up.
Yeah.
Let the business, we don't care how many people die. You know, we're watching hundreds of thousands of people die. This is the pro-life party, by the way.
Yeah.
But businesses got to make money. And the cost of to the businesses is in excess of the cost of people dying. You know, if they're
and their lunatic argument about all of this is the trickle down argument. When the businesses make money, when the corporations make profit, when the rich become richer and the poor become poorer, that's all to the good, because those riches that the riches get will trickle down. And in the entire history of the trickle down theory, there's not been any instances of anything trickling down.
Yeah, we've had parallel. Points brought up by both Governor Wolf and Joe Biden in the last week or so. The governor has proposed a budget, and in that budget proposal, he's proposing to raise Pennsylvania's minimum wage first to $12 an hour, and then over the next 6 years to get it to $15 an hour. Biden has also proposed that the national minimum wage be $15 an hour. And again, that's a phase in over a couple of years, or I think 3 years to 2024. And huge, huge opposition to that by businesses. And they've been able to get the little guy to join them, saying, no, this is an overreach by government. We're going to lose jobs. You know, I can remember way back in the late 50s when the minimum wage went from like 75 cents to a dollar, or a dollar to a dollar and a quarter. And the argument was, you're going to cost people jobs. And that's been their argument ever since. The minimum wage has been raised by 25 cents or 50 cents an hour.
It never happens. Jobs are never eliminated. Happens. Right.
Right. We always have more jobs. Now, there are certain places I talked
to. And by the way, there are some workers who aren't covered by any minimum wage. For example, people in the restaurant industry who work for tips. They're not covered by the minimum wage laws.
Well, they are, but it's a different minimum wage, and it's far lower. The minimum wage for restaurant workers is $2.17
an hour. $2.17
an hour. Right.
Because that means if you work a full year, you're guaranteed $4,000 a year.
Right. Now, the theory being, again, the theory that the tips will make you at least minimum wage. And I guess supposedly if you don't make that, the employer is supposed to pony up the difference, but that never happens.
You're completely right. It never happens. There's an article in the New York Times today about that very fact, and the survey revealed that 84% of restaurants do not follow that law. They violate that law.
Right. Right. And there are all sorts of ways. I remember when I was a kid, a college kid working in the Catskills, the resorts that I worked at, I was paid far less than minimum wage, but they were allowed to count in my room and board as payment, and they were allowed to value that room and board at an excess price.
I'm surprised they didn't end up with you owing them money.
Well, almost. I mean, it was a great job for a kid, you know.
Well, by the way, we have that situation in the field, the fracking fields over here in Pennsylvania, where many, even most of the landowners who have signed contracts, leases with the oil companies, the gas companies, discover that they are responsible for a share of the production cost. And when the cost of gas is low, they end up owing the gas companies instead of getting a royalty. Although, you know, this Pennsylvania law guarantees them a royalty, but because of the fact that they've agreed to share a burden, the production burden, a certain percentage of it, they end up owing the gas companies money.
Yeah. Well, this goes back to the mining companies, where the miners, and remember, we're not talking about just the worker, but the miners, there was a different category.
The mining company,
Yeah, but the miners was a special designation for people who were allowed to use blasting material. And they were compelled to buy their materials from the company store.
Right.
And so at the end of the month, they deducted the cost of their materials from their wages. And they barely had any, you know, they also had to buy their food from the company store. It jacked the prices. So what they could put in their pockets at the end of the month was virtually nothing. There was no transfer of cash. It was all on the books.
It's like sharecroppers.
Yeah.
They had the same situation. At the end of the year, they had nothing.
Yeah, remember?
Or they had something. They had a debt. They had growing debt. They could never leave the land.
Well, remember Tennessee Ernie Ford's song? 16 tons, and what do you get?
Yeah.
Another day older and deeper in debt?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Lord, don't you call me because I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
The American tradition is that the workers do not improve their lot, no matter what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I want to talk about some of the things that got proposed this week in the Pennsylvania budget. One of them was that the teachers be paid a minimum salary of $45,000 a year. There's going to be opposition to that. I talked about the minimum wage being in there. We found out something that I never knew in Pennsylvania in the budget, that $199 million has been allocated every year for horse racing development. Now, first of all, talk about corporate socialism or business socialism. Why is Pennsylvania subsidizing a horse racing industry to that tune?
Is there any domestic horse racing in Pennsylvania?
Well, Pocono Downs. You know, there is some horse racing, but it's not, certainly not a growth industry. And what Governor Wolf is proposing is that we take that money and we invest it in college tuitions. There's a big difference between investing and paying off an industry. So we're going to see how that plays out. The budget, as usual, is dead on arrival. There's all sorts of tax proposals. He actually proposes to lower income tax on corporations and certain individuals, but that's contingent in his budget to get rid of some of the corporate loopholes. And it's contingent on raising the income tax on the rest of us. A family of four making $50,000 or less would not pay any income tax. But he's proposing a raise from 3.07 to about 4.5%, which is a 30-some percent raise in tax. And the Republicans are going to use that against him. They're going to use that against Josh Shapiro because of the percentage. They're more than willing to accept tax cuts, but never but not close loopholes on that. And that's a, you know, basically a form of trickle down type of things.
Yeah. And the corporate tax cut is also 30%, right? They want to go from just under 10% to 6.5%, actually a 34% increase, a decrease.
Right, right. Now, nobody is shutting down fracking. Biden came out and said, I'm going to shut it on federal land. That's what I promised, but I'm not shutting it down on private land or on state land. I can't recall whether or not Wolf's proposal shuts it down on state land. I'm not sure, but we had those things coming
out. Now the situation is, they've got to have a budget by June 30th, right?
Correct.
Because by law, the state can't operate on a deficit, and the fiscal year begins July 1st.
Right.
But didn't we have a multi-billion dollar accumulated deficit in the state? What happened to that deficit?
Well, we did. And a couple of things happened. One is that the deficit wasn't as bad as they thought. We actually had more tax revenues than what we're seeing. Secondly, they're going to have to cover some by borrowing. And then we have the situation, this is where it ties into the Biden budget, because Biden wants to, in his $1.9 trillion bill, wants to give money to states and municipalities. And the Republicans are opposing that. They don't want any money to go to the states. They keep saying, we're not going to bail out states that have done things like spent money on their citizens. And some of them have done it imprudently, Illinois being a prime example, and to some extent Pennsylvania. But they, you know, the states need that money. It would actually be defunding the police if the Republican plan was enacted, or lack of plan was enacted, because that's where cuts in jobs are going to have to be made. By the way, in Pennsylvania, we have a unique situation. We are actually taxing the toll use on the turnpike to subsidize state police payments for municipalities who don't have their own state police, or have their own police forces. So, and that's the rural areas. So these rural areas don't provide their own police. They make the state police cover them. And then the state police are paid by taxes on transportation taxes on everybody, on the turnpike or whatever. And then everybody blames the Democrats for raising the tolls in order to pay for Republican areas getting police. It's a crazy situation.
It may be crazy, but in a certain sense, it's not illogical. I mean, no. If rural areas are small and poor and can't afford to have adequate policing, but they need adequate policing, then they've got to get it from someplace else. Nothing wrong with that. After all, don't rich states send surplus monies to poor states all the time?
Sure.
It happens all the time.
Sure. And all these poor states don't, you know, keep railing against the government that subsidizes them.
That's right. But that's demagogy.
Yes, that's demagogy. That's demagogy.
Speaking of Pennsylvania, I see that Kathy Buchvar had to resign. I kind of liked her.
Yeah. She's a good public servant, but she made a big error, a big mistake. She took a lot of heat and didn't wilt under fire over the election, and made sure that people, the mail-in vote, could be cast, collected, and counted properly. But she...
And at least in my county, it went off without a hitch. It was perfect.
It went without a hitch with most places in Pennsylvania. The only thing is, because the Republicans wouldn't allow early counting, it made things look bad deliberately so that they could claim that the election was stolen. But it didn't work in the courts. That argument didn't work in the courts.
But, of course, Pennsylvania was what Josh Hawley pointed to in Congress, the horrors of the Pennsylvania voting system.
Yeah, in Texas, Ted Cruz, they wanted to get rid of Pennsylvania votes.
Yeah.
Except for the votes that for the Republicans that won in the state.
Well, naturally, the votes that voted for them, those votes were good.
Yeah. But Buchvar's office made an error. There was a constitutional amendment proposed that allowed victims of sexual abuse to have a new opportunity to sue their perpetrators, a two-year window, and it had to be done by constitutional amendment. And the amendment passed. There's very strict ways of amending the Constitution. It passed through the legislature twice and then was supposed to go on the ballot in May, but it needed to be advertised a certain number of days before the election, and Bukvar's office failed to do that. And it probably was not her fault, but she took the hit and stood up and resigned. Whether she was called in by the governor and told, you got to resign, or whether she did it on her own, I don't know. But she didn't complain about it. She accepted the error. Unlike Marjorie Taylor Greene, in the Republican in Congress, who wouldn't be contrite or apologize for the things that she did and said, and that caused great pain and harm. Her kooky theories that the shootings at Parkland, the shootings in Connecticut were false flag operations. She actually harassed David Hogg, one of the kids who was, survived the shooting at Parkland. Have you no decency? She had none of this type of thing. Repeating all the anti-Semitic memes of QAnon, the last one being that Jewish space lasers deliberately caused the California wildfires to clear a path for Jewish-funded super trains to run in the state.
I'm surprised you didn't point out that the trains would have to have been coming from China.
Yeah. Well, the train tracks, laid by the Chinese, I guess, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But she was stripped. The Republicans failed to stand up to her. They refused to strip her from her committee assignments, including education, by the way. And so the Democrats said, we'll do it for you. And they took a vote. Every single Democrat voted against her. And 11 Republicans stood up and said, no, she shouldn't be rewarded for this. Of course, she had all of Trump's backing. Interestingly, 61 Republicans tried to oust Liz Cheney from her position in the caucus because she had the temerity to uphold the Constitution and vote for impeachment of Donald Trump after he incited the insurrection.
My own attitude is that I think that the Democrats shouldn't have removed Marjorie Taylor Greene from the committee assignment that she got, especially not from the Education Committee. She's a despicable human being with policies that will harm every American. But she's the face of the Republican Party, and people should see that face.
Well, they're still going to see her. I mean, she's not going away. She's still raising money. She's still going to be out there whether she has a committee or not. She doesn't care about that. She's going to be back...
No, but the Democrats give her an argument now. They say she's victimized.
Yeah.
She shouldn't be victimized. If the Republicans are proud of her, they should be forced to display her. It's a political matter. The Democrats should fight this thing politically, but point out that she is a danger to America and to the American people. And
you know who's pointing?
Give her
no
arguments.
You know who's pointing this stuff out is corporate America.
Yeah.
We're now saying we're not going to fund people who wouldn't vote or try to overturn the election, and we're not going to fund Republicans who are supporting people like Taylor Greene. That's what has Mitch McConnell in a tizzy.
Well, disintegration of the Republican Party. That's what they're confronting. That's their problem. That disintegration would be helped if she is forced to be their public face. Anyway, we're done this week.
We have an impeachment coming up.
We've got the impeachment next week. We'll have something to talk about that. So we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, everybody except Lou Dobbs will be able to talk about it. So
see you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week. Same time, same place. This program is supported by Argosy Bookshop of New York City, 116 East 59th Street, just down the block from Bloomingdale's. Old and rare books, prints and maps, members of the International League of Antiquarian Booksellers, founding members of the Antiquarian Booksellers Association of America, members of the Appraisers Association of America, on the web at Argosy Books, ArgosyBooks.com. Check them out for books, autographs, maps, and prints.